Dear listeners, I welcome you to this audio lecture, which is part of BA English course in Dr. B.R. Ambedkar Open University. This lesson is part of BA English 3rd year, 5th semester. The title of this course is Women's Writing in English, which is a discipline-specific elective course for BA. We have 5 blocks and 15 units in this course. Today, we will discuss Block 4, Feminist Thought. In this block, we will talk about Unit 13 with the title Voices from the Margins. Today, we will discuss about the construction of gender and the norms of patriarchy. And we will also talk about the pluralities of women's experiences. And then we will end with importance of unlearning and relearning. So, let us start. The binary of center and margin always posited the center as a self and the margins as the other, the voiceless and unheard. This unit tries to break the stereotypical construction and bring in the main objective of the postmodern insight, that the knowledge is constructed and many such voices which had been hushed needs to be heard to understand a different and lesser known truth. Moving the margins to the center will make these experiences visible and the voices heard. Let us now briefly talk about slave narratives. Slave narratives can be broadly defined as the account of an enslaved person's first-hand experience. The modern slave narratives appeared in the late 18th century with the abolitionist movement in Britain, as an aftermath of the continuation of the transatlantic slave trade of the Africans. The first slave narratives written by male slaves were short and often focused on their conversion to Christianity. This literary genre mainly follows autobiographical style, accounting the life of a fugitive or former slave either written by themselves or orally passed by themselves. While the early slave narratives focused on the life of freed slaves or fugitives in the time of racial prejudice, they further developed into fictional novels, extending its influence to the present day. As one looks into the history of slave narratives, it becomes clear that no other such experience has been so fully recorded as that of the African enslavement in America, especially in the 18th and 19th century. It comprises one of the most influential traditions when it comes to American literature, playing a decisive role in the formation of the forms and the themes of many celebrated yet controversial writings. The vast majority of the slave narratives comprises of African-American writings. Apart from that, the African-born Muslims' account in Arabic, white American sailors who were held captives by North Africans also wrote about their experience of enslavement in the 19th century. The earliest known and recognized memoirs in the British Isle are the narratives penned by the Europeans and the Americans who were captured by the North African pirates. Slave narratives have been recognized as a literary genre very recently. These narratives are the prose rendition of the songs and spirituals of slaves, with the main intention to tell the outside world of the gross horror and the inhumane treatment a slave had to undergo. Women's slave narratives leave a huge impact on the history of slave narratives due to the varied themes that they discuss. Harriet Jacobs' Incidents in the Life of a Slave Girl, published in 1861 under the name of Linda Brent, is a gripping narrative which speaks of how familial connection both drive her desire to become a free individual and curtail the desire to achieve freedom. Slavery, though terrible for women and men alike, the experiences of a woman slave is far worse. Both men and women were subjected to severe physical labor, poor accommodation, food, clothing, verbal and physical abuse, and emotional brutality. The women slaves were further humiliated through sexual exploitation. The women's slave narratives focuses on a wide range of themes, including trauma, survival, revenge, and the importance of bonding between women. Black women writers are currently bringing a fresh perspective to slave narratives. Toni Morrison's Beloved bears a direct influence of this tradition. Slave narratives have played a major role in initiating debate on American identity, slavery, freedom, challenging the American consciousness ever since its founding. Let us now turn towards trauma writings. Trauma studies is one of the evolving studies in humanities and social sciences. Kathy Kerruth, one of the first experts on the subject of trauma, in her seminal text Unclaimed Experience, Trauma, Narrative and History, describes it as an overwhelming experience of sudden or catastrophic events in which the response to the event occurs in the usually in an often delayed, uncontrolled, repetitive appearance of hallucinations and other intrusive phenomena. Some of the recent studies in the area are Laurie Vicroy's Trauma and Survival in Contemporary Fiction and Deborah Horvitz's Literary Trauma, Sadism, Memory and Sexual Violence in American Women's Fiction. Traumatic events are extraordinary incidents which challenge the normal human adaptations to life. The two elements that are associated with trauma are it is incomprehensible and that it comes without warning. Trauma is an experience that cannot be ridden away easily. Earlier research on trauma focused mainly on the trauma of male war veterans. The study of other traumas associated, especially with women and children, like rape, child abuse, and similar violent conditions, originated in the late 19th century, with the psychoanalysts focusing on hysteria. Traumatic theory falls in a paradoxical situation, as there is a dearth of the right language to represent the unspeakable, silenced, unrepresented nature of trauma and its experience, while on the other hand, there is a strong need for a means of expression. So, there is a need for means of expressing, but there is no language to, there is no proper language to express whatever the trauma people have gone through. Literature plays an important role in understanding trauma and traumatic memory, not in representing the meaning of trauma, but in acknowledging the state of an absence in meaning in these narratives. This is evident in various women's writings. One of the best examples is Charlotte Perkin Gilman's The Yellow Wallpaper. The short story details the deterioration of the mental health of the central woman character narrator, who recently moved to a beautiful estate along with her family to cure her of her illness. She is treated by her doctor husband, John, who restricts her movement physically and mentally owing to her health condition. But it becomes evident that it is the oppression of the mentally creative and active narrator that leads to her psychotic condition. Now, this story is in direct contrast to Kate Chopin's short story, The Story of an Hour, where the central woman character dies of a heart attack when she comes to know of the husband's miraculous escape from the rail accident. Both the stories show the trauma of women within marriage, which was not addressed for a long time by male writers. The psychological impacts caused by the various patriarchal institutes blamed women, and the resultant hysteria as a woman's disease caused by the uterus. The recent surge in trauma writings by women focus on various factors that attribute to women's trauma and the resultant varied reactions to the life-changing experience. They voice the gender in the verbalization and look at trauma as a gendered experience. You may also refer to Sandra Gilbert and Susan Gubar, discussed in the previous units, for a better understanding of how women with the hysteric condition were treated by both family and society, with examples from various literary sources. Let us now turn our attention towards disability studies. Another emerging study, disability studies, focuses on questions like what disability is, its nature and effect within the context of socio-political, economic, ethical and cultural factors. The study also looks into the prejudices and perspectives of the normal people against disabled people. Disability refers to the inability of a person to perform personal or socially demanded tasks due to the impairment or the society's reaction to the impairment. The main focus of the field is to change disability as an individual defect that can be cured through medical intervention or such expert service providers. Disability studies, therefore, intend to destigmatize disease, impairment, or illness and interrogate the connections between social stigmatizing of disability and medical practice. Though men and women are subjected to discrimination based on their disabilities, women with disabilities are at a greater disadvantage because of the combined discrimination based on gender and disability. The double discrimination faced by them put them at a higher risk of gender-based violence, sexual abuse, and exploitation. Elizabeth Hastings, the former Disability Discrimination Commissioner in Australia, speaks of how the construction of masculinity or femininity has a major impact on the lives of a disabled person. She explains how the disabled girls do not fit in the stereotypical representation of a girl, which affects her self-esteem. This affects her experience and molds her life into the role-less category. Nevertheless, there are literatures coming in India written by women with disability celebrating their life despite the difficulties around them. Malini Chip's One Little Finger is an example where the author recollects her journey from being branded a permanent vegetable to an internationally recognized activist. The narrative written in the autobiographic structure focuses on the personal experiences and achievements of Chib, along with her family's struggle in developing disability rights within the country and establishing special education. One of the most underrepresented or misrepresented sections in India is the Muslim woman. It is between the 7th and 12th centuries. Through a series of invasions, the Muslims overran India from its then dominating Hindu rulers. The regime followed strict patriarchal structures, restricting their women from getting educated except religious teachings. But the women in the royal family received education. Babur's daughter, Gulbadan Begum, in the later 16th century, documented the reign of her brother Humayun in an exceptional work, Humayun Nama, which was written in 1587. Another notable poet in the 18th century was Malaka Bai Chanda, a courtesan in the court of Nizam Ali Khan and a singer of higher caliber. She wrote her own songs. Her poems were posthumously published as Gulzar-e-Malaka. The literary contribution of Muslim women from the Mughal Empire to the 20th century was affected due to the socio-political and economic position they were subjected to. Some of the early women writers who contributed to the reform movement and nationalist movement are Rukhaya Shakawat Hussain, who wrote in English, and Sugra Humayun Mirza and Nazar Sajjad Haider, both of whom wrote in Urdu. The contemporary Muslim women writers challenge the dominant stereotype about Muslim life and traditions within the socio-cultural and political changes within and beyond the Indian subcontinent. These writings challenge the concept of Muslims being inevitably politically militant or the oppression of women within the religion, or the static position of the religion as something that did not outgrow medievalism. Some of the contemporary women Muslim writers in India are Asra Nomani, Suhaila Abdulali, Samina Ali, Sahar Alam, Sara Abu Bakr, Monica Ali, Noor Zahir, and Seema Kazi. These writers have explored multiple areas in their writings, questioning the regressive structures that have tried to bind them within limited space and scope. Despite the individual successes, writing in English language by Muslim women writers have not still achieved great success. Most of the writings recognized are still the writings of men on women or by writers who reinforce the stereotypes of women as the other. So, it becomes imperative to read women's experiences as written by them. Let us now quickly touch upon LGBTQ writings. Gender binaries was a construct which othered a large group of people who did not fall into the definition of the two gendered constructs. Queer writings are now coming out of closet, especially with the decriminalization of Section 377, a law that criminalized the sexual conduct against the order of nature. But LGBTQIA+ are still underrepresented and many queer writings camouflage themselves to fit into the mainstream literary space. While legal recognition is one step into their identity politics, forming a space within the large public arena and recognition of their identity are the other steps to be followed. Queer literature is one such ground where they can express and represent themselves. Ismet Chughtai's Lihaf is celebrated and became controversial for the portrayal of same-sex love and the acknowledgement of consent. Kamala Das's autobiography, My Story, also hints at same-sex love, which was unacceptable at the time the work was written. Yet, these writers tried to question the legitimacy of heteronormative society, which nullified the existence of other genders and sexualities. Transgenders are yet another othered gender whose positionality within Indian literature even now is spurious. Trans women writers like Living Smile Vidya, Manobi Bandyopadhyay, A. Revati, Lakshmi Narayan Tripathi, and many others have penned their struggles and problematized the culture within their community. Now let us quickly talk about diasporic writings. Diasporic literature is an umbrella term that encompasses all the literary works written by authors outside their native country about their native culture and background. These writers suffer from rootlessness and alienation as a result of migration and expatriation. Alienation, displacement, nostalgia, quest for identity, and amalgamation of different cultures or disintegration of cultures are some of the very common themes found in these narratives. It mainly echoes the experience of the immigrants. Their writings are characterized by cultural hybridity, confusion of national identity, and cultural belongingness. Unlike the other writings discussed in this unit, the contribution of women diasporic writers is immense. It can be argued that South Asian women diaspora has slowly created a space for itself and has slowly moved towards establishing itself as a mainstream literature. Some of the prominent diasporic women fiction writers are Anita Desai, Kamala Markandeya, Bharti Mukherjee, Ruth Jabwala, Kiran Desai, Jhumpa Lahiri, Taslima Nasreen, and the list keeps going on because there are a lot of diasporic women writers. Anita Desai's Bye Bye Blackbird, which was published in 1985, is a story about the migration of Indians to England and the disillusionment they experienced there. The story speaks of rootlessness from various angles and perspectives. Taslima Nasreen is another important diasporic writer from Bangladesh who is in a perpetual diaspora facing state of exile. An atheist revolutionary, Nasreen has invited the wrath of extremists for questioning the oppressive structure within religion. She is charged with blasphemy like Rushdie and has been living in exile in India and Sweden. Her novel, Lajja, shows the marginalization and oppression of minority Hindu community in Bangladesh. Her poetical works include Hunger in the Roots, published in 1986, Banished Within and Without, published in 1995, Poems from Exile, published in 1996, Water Lilies, published in 2000, and Feeling Empty, which was published in 2004. Now, let us quickly sum up what we have learned in this unit. Marginalized writings should be brought into the center to understand the heterogeneous culture which otherwise is pushed into the periphery as the other. By moving these writings to the center, the task is to break the binaries of self versus others and give importance to the multiple voices that are present around us. Then we also looked at slave narratives, trauma and disability studies, Muslim women studies, LGBTQ studies, and diasporic writings. There are other marginalized writings like the writings of northeastern states of India or tribal women writings. If you are interested in those writings, I suggest you to really look at those areas as well. This is the end of the unit 13, Voices from the Margins. Thank you.